Begin the current daf. Masecht is brachas daf chav dal. Begin on Amud Alf. Begin with Teis Deber Masel. With Teis begins with the words of the Gemara. Vatani Rebchia. Rebchia toward a brisa. Manichin bekoiver tachas mereshesav. That he puts it in a case that's underneath his head. Mr. Teis is coming to ask that one could actually resolve this question. That is, the Gemara brought that Rabbi Yirmiyah said that if one has his wife with him in bed, so then he's allowed to put his tefillin between the pillow and the bed, but not opposite, not directly beneath his head. That the Gemara asked, but we have a brice from Chia that our taste is quoting from the words of the Gemara, that you could put it in a container, tachas mirashaysav, beneath his head. Sounds like there's no problem of putting it beneath his head. So that was the Gemara's question on Rabbi Yirmiyah. On that, as taste is vim taima, but if you're going to say and ask the following question, Ema say, b'kaiva shalaika neged reishai. Taisa has to take a second look. He says, wait a second. Yes, maybe when we're saying that you could put it in this case underneath your head, but it means not directly opposite the head. And Taisa proves the point. Shabbat Braisa Le'el, we have a Braisa that was brought earlier in the Gemara that the Gemara had used to ask on Shmuel's halacha. Shmuel had said a related halacha that a person is permitted to put his tefillin underneath his head, even if his wife is with him. And that the Braisa said that you could put it tachas mereshesav, but if your wife is with you, it's forbidden. So that was the Gemara's question on Shmuel, that you see with a wife it's different. But one thing says the Gemara, that same Braisa, which we had already brought a Braisa, Nami Tani Tachas Mereshesav, it also used the words beneath the head. So for Shmuel, we were asking regarding the wife part. But that same Braisa says regarding putting it beneath the head, V'loi Parich Mine, and the Gemara did not use it to ask on Rabbi Yirmiyah. Why not? Use that same Braisa. Why introduce a new Braisa? Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying you cannot put it beneath the head. What do you mean? You have a previous Braisa you already brought in the Gemara that says you could put it Tachas Mereshesav. So Tez says, why didn't we ask from that Braisa? From the Mitzina LeFarusha, because we could explain, yes, beneath the head, but Shalaika Neged Reishav, but not directly beneath the head, rather a little bit to the side, beneath, between the pillow and the bed, but not right beneath. So therefore, why are we asking then from this Braisa B'chi? Why is it any different? It says, Tachas Mereshesav, who cares? It could mean that it's not directly beneath the head. So Baim Harav, the teacher, referring to Rabbi Yisiv, the student of Rabbeinu Shmuel, one of the Balei Taisis, he says, because Deim Kain, because if it would be like we're asking, Rabbi Chiya's Bryce is talking about, you're putting in the case, but not connected ratio, not directly beneath the head, then if that's the case, Samayir B'kaiva, then why would Rabbi Chiya be saying specifically you're putting it in a container, a Felishaloi B'kaiva Nami, even if it's not in a container, it's also going to be permitted because you already have in one vessel, meaning in a kli, because it's between the pillow and the bed. So the pillow itself is like a kli. So you could put it even without a kaiva, even without a container, if it wasn't directly beneath the head. So why are you saying by kaiva? Rather, that was the Gemara's proof. Obviously, from that he says that it's in a container, is the mari afila connected ratio, that it's even directly beneath the head, and therefore that was the Gemara's question from the Brais Rabbi Chiya on this halacha of Rabbi Yirmiyah. However, Tesis is still bothered. He says, but in Mekom Mokom Kasha, it's still difficult because Leishani, the Gemara, could have answered that no. Truthfully, it's not difficult on Yirmiyah because it's talking about that it's not directly beneath the head. And as we see from a previous Braisa, that the fact that he used the terminology Tachas Mereshesav, it doesn't have to mean it's directly beneath the head. So then but we had the question, but then why does it need a kaiva? That's for a different reason, says Taisus. The Mayer Be'ishta Ime, because we could explain that Lacha the Braisa is talking about, that the man's not just sleeping with a pillow beneath his head, his wife is in his bed with him. The boy kli b'toy kli, that requires not enough just to have it beneath the pillow. That's one kli. You have to have a kli in a kli, and specifically that which is not designated for the tefillin, which is what this kaiva, this container is. And that's why you could have it. And therefore, that would answer the question. So if it's not directly tachas mereshesav, why do you need to have the kaiva? That's for a different halacha regarding the modesty with one's wife. And therefore, says Taisa b'tzarachin, one has to still analyze and look into this. Why then was the Gemara's proof not like Rabbi Yirmiyah from this Braisa Rabbi Chiya, when you could say that tachas mereshesav doesn't mean directly beneath the head, because kaiva is just coming to say regarding a different halacha of ishta ima. Now we continue in the next Taisus. The Ramaschal Taisus begins with the words of the Gemara, Shnaim shahu yishenim b'mita. If there are two people sleeping in the bed, which Taisus comes to explain, first of all, why is there no problem about a person seeing his own erva, his own private parts? And additionally, why is there no problem about that his heart, which is by his chest, sees his private parts, which the Gemara had brought. The Rabbi Yisiv Bereidra ibn Nechunya asked from Rabbi Yehuda, what's the halacha regarding two people sleeping in one bed? What's the halacha? Could this one turn the one direction and the other one turn the other direction and each one say Kriyishma? So on that, as Tais says, so that was the Gemara's discussion regarding if that's a problem, even though they're not seeing the other one's private parts, but regarding their back to back. On that, Tosis asked for him time, and Tosis asked to take a second look. Okay, forget about his friend's private area. Vali Roya Erasatsmoy. But even if he turned the other direction, but he's facing the same direction as his private parts, he's seeing his own private parts. How does that help? Yeshlema says Tosis, the case is talking about Shiyetzi Roisha Lachutz. We're talking about that he sticks his head out of the garment that's covering his body. He's covering himself with a sheet, so he doesn't see his own private parts. The thing is, but he's not covered behind there. He's touching his friend from behind. That's what the discussion of the Gemara was. But regarding his own, he's not seeing it. But question number two, Vim Tema says, okay, but another question is, if you're going to say, Vahari Liberoya Esa Erva, his heart, his chest sees his private parts. So though he's covering by his neck that he's not seeing it, but his heart, which is his chest, there's nothing, there's no waistband, there's nothing separating between his heart and his private parts. That's a problem. Yeshlema says, what you could say is, no, the Ksavra that he holds, like the Tana, that Liber Reza Erva Mutter, there's a discussion brought, one of the opinions is, it's actually Machlekes. In this opinion, he holds that the heart could see the naked area of his own body, and therefore it's permitted, and therefore that wasn't a problem. Or Inami, or another approach that says, you could even say, like the ones who hold that Liber Reza Erva is a problem. But Chetz is big, they could naked Liber. What he did is, he didn't just hold a blanket by his neck that he doesn't see, covering himself. No, he actually hugs the garment opposite his chest, so that's like a separation between his heart and his private parts, and therefore it doesn't have the problem of Liber Reza Erva. Now we continue with the next Tesis. The Rimaschal Tesis begins with the words of the Gemara, but Vatanya, but we learned in the Braisa, Hayashin Bemita, if a person was sleeping in the bed, Ubene Beis Abachul, and he has his family members with him in the bed, which Tesis comes to explain that actually this Gemara's question is from a third Braisa, and not like Rashi explains, Machlekes Rashi Tesis, not like Rashi that it's from a previous Braisa that was brought before. That is, the Gemara brought that Shmuel said, there's a difficulty on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said that if a person has his wife with him in his bed, and his flesh is touching her flesh, you're still allowed to say Kriyishma. Problem is, the Braisa says, if he was sleeping in the bed, and he has his children and his B'nai Beisai, his family members in the bed, says he's not allowed to say Kriyishma, unless he has a garment that's separating between him and them. Now, this Braisa, according to Rashi, as we're going to explain, is the Braisa that was previously brought to ask on the halacha of Shmuel. As Pirish Rashi, as Rashi explains, why is this difficult on the teaching of Rav Yosef? Because Ishtar B'chalal Beisai, when it says that this halacha prohibiting, unless you have a garment separating, is with your children, Ebene Beisai, who's the members of his house, that refers to his wife. Beisai is Ishtai. And therefore you see, not like Rav Yosef, that it's forbidden to recite Krishma with his wife with him, unless he has a garment separating. That's the way Rashi interprets the Gemara's question. So Tais has two difficulties. He says, well, in here, it doesn't seem correct, the interpretation of Rashi. Chada, first of all, Dulei Ashkechan Ishtai Dimekari B'nei Beisai. We never find anywhere that the wife is called this terminology of B'nei Beisai. And therefore, it wouldn't make sense that that's where the question's from regarding the wife. Yeah, it's referring to the children, to the family members. Yeah, that is actually prohibited. He only allows it regarding the wife. But moreover, question number two, as Tais's Lipirushai, according to Rashi's interpretation, that this Brisa is the same Brisa that the Gemara had brought in before to ask on Shmuel, so then have a little meme, the Gemara should have said a different terminology. The Gemara should have said, but Vagatani Khan, but we already learned over here on the previous Braisa that we had brought, because Kivin that Braisa Delelkai, because it's going on the Braisa according to Rashi that we previously brought, so it should say Vagatani Khan. Aval, but says Taisim, and they come from the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, rather it says Vatani, we learned the Braisa, Mashman the Braisa Acheresi. It sounds like you're talking about a different new Braisa. So therefore, Va'imah HaRav Rabbi Yosef, he disagrees with Rashi, and he says, the Gersinan, no, the Girsa is a third Braisa, which has a different Girsa, and actually explicitly is difficult in Rabbi Yosef. Because the Braisa is, HaYayashin Mamita, if he was sleeping in the bed, Ve'ishta Yesheni Betzida. Not like Rashi said that it's going in the previous Braisa of Bonav B'nei Beisai. No, it's a different terminology that Tosis brings as a Girsa. It says explicitly, Ve'ishta Yesheni Betzida, his wife is sleeping on the side of him, Lo Yachshu Panav B'Yikris. Now let her just turn his face and say Krishma. Elam Kein Haysa Talas Mavsekes Be'Noi Le'Be'No, unless there was a garment separating between him and her. Therefore, that's the Braisa that's explicitly difficult under Yosef, and not the way Rashi was learning up from B'nei Beisai, because of, we don't find B'nei Beisai. Ishta, as he said, and also then it should have said Vokatani Khan and not just said Vatanya. Rather, Tesis has that other Girsa from Rabbi Yisim that is a third Braisa. Now, we continue to talk with Beis, where Tesis begins with the words of the Gemara, Umemashmesh Bebigdai, that he would also move around his garment, which Tesis comes to explain the words of Reb Chanina. The Gemara brother Reb Chanina says, I saw Rebbe in his Shemayna Esther that he did a few different things, which the Gemara ultimately asks a contradiction on that. He would belch, he would yawn, he would sneeze, he would spit, and umemashmesh bebigdai, like Tosfos quotes, and he would move around his garments. Avolohayi mesatav, but he wouldn't go ahead and cloak himself in Milosh Shemayna Esther. Now, Pirush Rashi explains, when it says that he would be memashmesh bebigdai, when he would move around his garment. What that means to say is lahavar hakin hagtzase, because he wanted to get rid of the louse, the lice that it's biting him. So he can't actually touch the lice during davening, but he was moving around his garment to get rid of the lice that was biting him by flicking his garment and then getting the lice off him. Now, and then when it says avoloi misatav, but he wouldn't cloak himself, what that means to say is im nafla talisei, if his talis would fall off him, milosh menesre, so then he wouldn't go ahead and pick it up and cloak himself. And therefore, according to Rashi, betray milininu, that comes out that these two teachings are two independent ideas. Mamashvish Bevigda is talking about regarding getting the lice off of him, and the Vlemisatav is talking about if his talus fell off. But Tesis brings Varach Pirish to Rabbeinu Chananel, he explains the Chadim Milsi. No, these two things are regarding one concept. Pirish as follows. One thing was permitted, one thing forbidden, because there were two different stages. Mamashvish Bevigda, when it says that he would fix his garment, Tikin Shalo Yipol Ma'al Rashi, he was proactive. He was doing a preventative measure. He made sure that his cloak, his talus, should not fall off of his head. So he would move it around to fix his talus. Avol, but when he says he wasn't masatav, means imnafal ma'arashah, but if it totally fell off his head, then lohei masatav, then he wouldn't go ahead and put back on his talus. Jarehi havsakeh masatav, that's an interruption in the middle of Shemayin Esav, he's going to go ahead now and cloak himself. Kimin shenavala garment, since it totally fell off of him. Avol asakeh ketzash, leipol, but to fix a little bit that it shouldn't fall off, lohei av havsakeh, that's not considered an interruption, and therefore that was, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, means a mashmash bebigdoy. Mashmash bebigdoy, not like Rashi, that's to get the lice off. No, it's like the same thing, avol masatav, which is, if it falls off, you can't cloak it, but you could be mashmish to make sure that it doesn't fall off. That's not considered a hefsek. Now we continue with Tais Dibri Masel. This begins with the words of the Gemara. Vayimen, he says, Ribbono Olamim, Master of the Worlds. Which Tais comes to explain exactly where do you say this prayer. The Gemara had brought that there was a different interpretation in the teaching that was said. Someone's a Melosh Manesse and he feels the need to pass gas. So what he does is he takes four amas, he takes a step back four amas, and he passes wind. And then he waits until the wind passes, and then he goes and he continues davening, and he says this prayer that the Gemara brings of Ribbono Olam, a certain type of prayer, and then he goes back to where he stopped. So Taisa explains that he says this prayer miyad, right away, be'emtza tefilasa, in the middle of his prayer, meaning, although you're not allowed to stop in the middle of a prayer, but as Rashi explained, once you're already interrupted because of passing wind, so then, even then, in the middle of Shemayin Esav, you say that prayer, and that's what Tais has to come to qualify, and then you go ahead and start over where you stop. But that's what Tais is explaining, clarifying that this prayer that said, it's not only after Shemayin Esav, it's actually right then, since you interrupted for that, you say the prayer, and then you continue davening from where you left off. Now, continue with Tais Divri Maschal, it begins with the words of the Gemara, Amalei. He said to him, L'didi lo severely. No, to me, I don't hold of that, which Tais come to explain what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yechonon. The Gemara explained, to answer a contradiction, that Rabbi Yechonon holds that there's a difference between walking and standing. Meaning, if someone's walking in a filthy alleyway, so he's allowed to put his hand on his mouth and say Kriyishma. Now, but if he's standing, then he's not allowed to. But that Rabbi Avo was silent when they reached a filthy alleyway in the middle of Kriyishma, and he asked Rabbi Yechonon, from where should I now go ahead and resume saying Kriyishma? And he said, look, if you delay the amount of time that you could have finished the whole Shema, you got to go back to the beginning of Shema. So that says the Gemara, what he was telling him was, no, I don't agree to you, meaning because I hold that you don't have to stop every Mahalach. But according to you, that you hold, that you cannot let us say it, so then if you delay the amount of time that it takes to finish the whole thing, then you got to go back to the beginning. That's what the Gemara says. So that Taisa comes to qualify and says, Pirish. The explanation of what Rabbi Yechonon is telling him when he says L'didilo Yisfirli was Mishum Tarti Mili, was because of a combination of two svaras, two logics. That's why I don't hold like you. What are the two things that in combination he doesn't hold like him? Chada, first of all, the Svirna Rabbi Yechonon was saying that I hold that if you wait the amount of time to finish the whole Kriyishma, the Enachayz L'Raish, that you don't go back to the beginning if you really were able to say the Kriyishma at that time. So though you stopped for the amount of time that you could have finished the whole thing, it doesn't make a difference. You don't go back to the beginning. Where? Because we find Rabbi Yechonon himself in Rish Hashanah Dav Lamed Alma Beis that he says the following halacha: Shama Tesha Tekiyas Betesha Shayz. If someone hears the nine shofar blasts, he has to hear the minimum on Rish Hashanah in 9 hours, one and on the hour. Yotze is fulfilled the obligation. So you see that even though you delayed the amount of time, that obviously you could have finished the whole thing and you had that amount of delay, it doesn't make a difference. You fulfill your obligation. So that's variable number one. Void, moreover, in combination with. Severely, I also hold that although you're in a dirty alleyway, if you're just walking through, you could put your hand on your mouth and you could say the Kriyishma. Vim Kane, oh, that's what he's saying, based on the second variable. Therefore, Havale Ro'u, such a person who's walking through the alleyway, even if he would stop, he's considered eligible that he could have said. And that's why he doesn't have to go back to the beginning, just like the 9 shofar blasts, where even if you waited the amount of time you could finish the whole thing, when you're eligible, you don't have to go back to the beginning. And here in this case, variable number 2, which is, since I don't hold that you have to stop, so therefore, that's why, even if you stop, you don't have to go back to the beginning. But al-didach, what he was telling him, but according to you, that you hold, that you disagree with me, you hold that if someone's going through a dirty alleyway, he has to stop. If so, that means to say, at that time when you were passing through, you were not row to recite Kriya Shema. And therefore, even if you hold of my other halacha, that if someone waited the amount of time to finish the whole thing, that if he's eligible to recite, he does not have to go back to the beginning, but you would hold he would have to go back to the beginning because you hold he's not row. And therefore, that's what he was saying, I don't hold like you, based on the compound of these two things, that's why I would hold he wouldn't have to go back to the beginning. Now, we continue the next taste of Rimaschal. This begins with the words of the Gemara, Bechavli Hashav, with ropes of Shav. Taisus come to explain what does that word Shav mean, which is not like Rashi, Machlekes Rashi and Taisus, in regard to how to qualify the word Shav. The Gemara brother Rav Asi said, whoever was going in a filthy alley when he didn't stop for the middle of saying his Devarim Shebekdusha like Krishma, on him the Pasuk says, oh, woe, hoy meishchei ovin bechavli Shav, woe to those who draw the sins with ropes of Shav. So Rashi says it's like weak ropes. But Taisus explains Kalema, so to say, Bechinam, which is like in vain, that Meishchen, for nothing, Meishchen Aleim Oven, they draw upon themselves sins, meaning you just got a sin for nothing. Ki Toiv Hayu, it would have been better, Shlo Hayu Mekayim in the Sekla, that you would not have filled the mitzvah at all. You mean you think you're being righteous? No, I'm going to say the Kriya Shema. No, it's Bechavli Hashav, it's in vain. That, in other words, you didn't even do an Aveira, I mean, you did one, but you didn't even get like that pleasure. You shouldn't have done the mitzvah, and this is like you're pulling sins for nothing. Rather not have said it because it's forbidden to go ahead and say Dvarim Shebekdusha in the Mavais Matanafis in the filthy alleyways. Now we continue with the next Taisus, which actually belongs on Daf Chofei Manalv, but it's printed over here on Chavdal Mabez, which Taisus brings that Pasig Rabbeinu Chananel, which he's coming to qualify according to whom do we say the halacha is like, because the Gemara said, as a Machlekes Rav Huna Rav Chisda, someone has excrement on his flesh, or if let's say his hand is in the bathroom, is he allowed to say Kriya Shema? Rav Huna says he's permitted, Rav Chisda says he's forbidden. So Pasuk Rabbeinu Chananel rules Kerav Chizda, like Rav Chizda, the also likers Kriya Shema, that you're not allowed to recite Kriya Shema. I feel it say tachas begodei abasari, even if the excrement is not even visible, it's underneath his garment, but it's on his flesh. Still, it's forbidden because Vesrila he holds like what Rav Chizda was saying, kol atzmoisei tamarin, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, all my bones say the words, not only the mouth and the nose, everything of the person's body has to be clean because the whole person's body is saying Devarim Shebekdusha. And since this excrement somewhere on his body, it's forbidden to say Kriya Shema. Now, says Rabbeinu Chananel, the Avagav de Rav Chizda, because even the Rav Chizda is Tamid Rav Huna, Havah, he's a student of Rav Huna, and we say the halacha is not like the student if he disagrees with his teacher. So if so, we should rule like Rav Huna, his Rabbi, and not like the student Rav Chizda. In spite of that, however, L'chum Razlinan, since we're talking about a biblical prohibition, we go stringently like the student, and therefore we're going to say that it's forbidden to say Kriya Shema if there's excrement anywhere in the person's body. But whatever Taisus brings, Rav Alfa is Pasuk Rav Huna. The Rav, he disagrees, he rules like Rav Huna. And the reason why he rules like Rav Huna, even though, yes, it's a Issa Dareis, so we go L'chumra, is when they actually Gemara mean it, because since the Gemara elsewhere asked B'yuma, in Masech L'yuma Parakama Munan, Dav Laman Rav asks from this teaching of Rav Huna, because over there the Gemara brings Rav Papa, who says that if this excrement in the place where it comes out of the person's body, then it's forbidden to say Kriya Shema. That the Gemara asks, why is it different than having excrement somewhere on the person's flesh, where Rav Huna says that it's permitted? That's the Gemara's question. So the Rif says, from the fact that the Gemara asks from Rav Huna, it would sound like because we rule like him, and therefore we're using to ask on the teaching of Rav Papa, so therefore the Rif says that the halacha follows like Rav Huna, and that it's not prohibited if he has excrement somewhere else on his body, not like Rav Chizda, not the way Rabbeinu Chananel had ruled.